We have somebody with us in church this morning that we normally don't see, and I direct you to your left. I want to thank Pastor Val. I had mentioned a few weeks ago that I'd love to draw a picture of Goliath to show his actual size, and that's as close to his actual size as we could come to, and I didn't do anything about it. And so on Thursday, Pastor Val sent an email to me, and he said, I'm not working today and tomorrow. Do you still want Goliath in the sanctuary? I said, well, that would be great, but I just can't do it. And he said, well, I'll do it for you. So even though Pastor Val's not with us today because he's on that ship going to the Caribbean, down through Mexico, he is with us through his artwork. So we appreciate that, and we'll be using that a little bit later in our message. So. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Do you remember the times when you struggled with something or you were fighting a battle and it left you feeling as though you'd been run over by a Mack truck? At times, we all feel like we spend our time trying to defeat a giant. And ushers, if you would come forward, we're going to give everyone here today a little ammunition to fight those giants, and please don't exercise it during the service, okay? So ushers, would you come forward in these two bags here? You have each person here some ammunition. It may not make a whole lot of sense to you right now, but as we get into the message, hopefully it will. And as they're passing it out, there are times where we just find that struggle that we don't know how to handle it. We just don't know which way to turn, how to address the issue. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a story that we all know well, the story of David and Goliath. I think too often, and maybe it's because I'm getting gray-haired now and slowing up a little bit, but I think at times we think of these Sunday school stories as Sunday school stories. And what I'm going to challenge you this morning is to take that lesson that we learned in Sunday school and to apply it to our lives today. Remember, I said that at times we feel like we spend our time trying to defeat a giant. If we're fortunate enough, we don't have to do it too often. However, the reality is we all make it there at some time in our lives. And in some cases, we're up against a problem or a distraction. In other cases, we are fighting sin that's grabbed hold of us. And as much as we want to defeat that giant in our lives, it raises its ugly head again and again. In your worship folder is a handout sheet with some spots for you to be able to fill in some words, and they will be popping up on the overhead from time to time. So just kind of follow along. You'll hear the words, and suddenly you'll say, oh, that, I know what that word is. And it'll also be in bright red, so you can't miss it. Okay. We've all been to that place in our lives where we've had to deal with giants. Some of those giants are like worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, depression, or insecurity. Whatever it has been, we have wandered through those dry valleys looking for answers. Sometimes we come up empty. We feel a lot like David standing in the intimidating shadow of Goliath. Now, Tim, are you here? Timmy? Would you come up here and help me for a minute, please? Now, first of all, Wednesday, Pastor Val came in here, and he says, you know, I come about to Goliath's belt line. So, you know, that's still a pretty big man. But then you take someone like Tim, and, you know, he could have been about the age of David, you know, because he said that David was a young man, he had ruddy complexion. Now, tell me there, Tim, how do you feel standing against somebody that tall? Scared. Okay. So see, See how small he is compared to how big Goliath is? And yet, David was able to do something about it. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you helping me out there. Okay, we need to remember that God is not the author of fear. God is not the author of fear. 2 Timothy 7 tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline." God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. Last Sunday, Kelly shared a wonderful message with us, and she wanted to use a quote from Nelson Mandela's 1994 inaugural address. It didn't fit in with her service, she said. So after the service, she sent it to me with the note that said maybe it would work into my message. Well, she knew a little bit about what I was going to talk about today, but not everything. So the Holy Spirit, however, was working, because it's an excellent example of what 2 Timothy 1:7 is saying to us. His quote was, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most." We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and famous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in all of us, he says. And when we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. What a tremendous statement that Mandela made. In his book, Believe and Belong, Bruce Larson writes about helping people who were struggling to defeat the giants in their lives. And he writes, "For many years, I worked in New York City and counseled at my office any number of people who were wrestling with these situations. Often, I would suggest that they walk with me from my office over to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. And in the building, the entrance of that building, is a gigantic statue of Atlas. Proportioned as he is, with all of his muscle straining, he's holding the world on his shoulders. There is the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under this burden." Now, that's one way you can live, the author said, he pointed out, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. And then the author goes on, he says, "But come across the street with me. And on the other side of the Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there, behind the altar, it's a statue of Jesus as a boy, perhaps 8 or 9 years old. And with no effort, he's holding the world in his hands." See the comparison. The truth is, we have a choice, and we are faced with a question. Who are we relying on to defeat our giants? Who are we counting on to carry our burdens? Goliath was David's giant to overcome. It was his distraction. It was his problem. In fact, Goliath was Israel's giant to overcome. And even though the Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul at this point in his life, he was still leading the army of the Israelites in battle. And by this point, King Saul had lost all confidence in God's leadership, not only in his life, but also in the life of his nation. This became very evident in the way that Saul led his troops against the Philistines. For a long time, Saul and his men would wake up every morning and stand face to face with their giant. But that was the problem. They were facing their giant day after day after day. There was a key element that was missing, and their battle strategy that forced them to waste the dealing with the same giant every day. Frank, come and share with us 1 Samuel 17. Frank just said he hadn't read that much in college this semester. I certainly hope you're reading something that I'm paying for. Okay, here we read of one of the most famous battles, not only in the Bible, but also in all of history. Nearly every child that's ever attended a Sunday school or a vacation Bible school class has heard that story. I know that all of you know it well. And although the story makes us feel good to know that good overcame evil, there's something that as an adult, I want you to learn. We call the Bible God's living word. What makes it a living word rather than a book of history? The stories that God inspired men and women to write and to record in the Bible carry lessons that can and will help us today. Let's see how this beloved story can help each of us today. David faced a physical giant in Goliath. As I said, we all face giants of our own all the time. They may be mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual giant. Therefore, we must ask, how do we defeat the giants of our life? What did we learn from David's giant killing that we can use ourselves? David lived by a simple principle to defeat the giants in his life. He had nothing to prove and nothing to lose. He had nothing to prove and nothing to lose. He realized that everything he was and everything he had belonged completely to God. And even as he stood in that battlefield, he was there under the authority and direction of God. He was not there to impress Saul. He was not there to impress Goliath. He was not there to impress his brothers or their friends. He was not there to prove anything to any of Saul's soldiers who were bigger and stronger than he was. So why was he there? David was there fighting the battle because someone was standing there making a disgrace of the living God. David was the only one who would stand up against that. He had nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Now the story goes that the Israelites and the Philistines met in the Valley of Elah to battle. The Israelites were on one side and the Philistines were on the other side of this valley, and each had a battle line. And if one side wanted to relay a message to the other side or to taunt them without having to attack them, they would send a soldier to the battle line to do that. And so for every day, for 40 days, this Philistine named Goliath would step out of his ranks, go to the battle line, and he would trash talk Israel.
Hey, Israel, you guys want to fight? You guys are a bunch of lint lickers. You guys are a bunch of chumps. Holler!
Modern day language. Chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, gives us a very physical description of Goliath. He was huge. He was over 9.5 feet tall, and he wore a bronze armor that weighed 125 pounds. Pastor Val and Pastor John and I were trying to decide what size shoe he wore, and they put their shoe up against that and decided it had to be at least a size 22. He wore bronze leggings to protect his legs, and he had a javelin and a spear with an iron point that alone weighed 15 pounds. His armor came in at about 200 pounds. maybe more. This guy was massive. As I shared the other day, Pastor Val just shared with us that he stood at about the belt line of Goliath. Goliath approached the battle line, and he wanted to play, let's make a deal. He said to the Israelites, choose a man to come and fight me. And if I defeat your man in battle, you will become our servants. But if you find someone who can beat me, then we will become your servants. And after he said all of that, he stood there. And he had the audacity to say, I defy the ranks of Israel. Translation? If you're too chicken to send somebody to fight me, then your God can't be much better. Remember how Saul and his soldiers reacted to that verse? Verse 11 says they were terrified. For 40 days, twice a day, Goliath would put on this show. And we see the reaction of Saul and his men again in verse 23 and 24. Away in fear. There was something about the way that Saul was approaching the giant that was different from the way that David approached him. And when you look at this, there seems to be a sharp contrast in how to battle a giant. Notice how Saul approached the situation. They kept putting it off. The more they delayed, the more intimidated they became. How many of us get phone calls on our caller ID from a credit collection agency or from a bank or somebody else that we, or a car company, that we just don't want to pick up that phone? Yeah, a lot of hands going up, a lot of smiles and nods. Yeah, because we know what's going to happen. And so they have the power to intimidate us without ever talking to us. Just by making that phone call. The more intimidated they became, the harder the problem became for them to handle. And it's the same thing when we battle our giants. We wake up every morning and we walk to the battle line. We look across the valley and we see the intimidating problem standing there. And it happens day after day. And the more that we delay in battling this giant, the more intimidating the problem becomes, and the harder it is to handle it later. But did you notice what David did? He showed up. He looked around. He surveyed the situation. He saw a black spot, and he did some immediate house cleaning. The next morning, the Israelites did not have that giant to worry about any longer. David could fight this battle because he had nothing to prove and nothing to lose. It's not that David did not realize what was at stake in fighting Goliath. I'm sure he knew that one small move would cost him his life. He was probably very nervous when he was walking down that hill and noticing that that giant just kept coming closer and closer and kept getting bigger and bigger. But what was Goliath doing? He was making a disgrace of God and his people. And David would not stand for that. David did not go into that valley expecting a battle. The reason he went was because he was sent by his father to check up on his three older brothers who were soldiers in the army. David more than likely had no idea who Goliath was. But that's the way it is with the giants that we battle in our lives. We never expect them. They just show up. David fought with nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Too often, we fight our battles with everything to prove and everything to lose. We get so caught up in the battle that we do not see beyond ourselves. But we must remember that God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than our giants. That day, so many years ago, God was bigger than Goliath. Let me reassure you that there is no time in our life where God cannot help us or that he will not help us. Let me give you a couple of examples. Friday, Frankie came home, and we had four friends with us. Five friends. I don't know, four or five. Anyway, there was eight of us that were going out to eat that night. Teresa was dead tired. She didn't want to have to cook. I'd been out all day. I didn't want to have to cook. So I won't say everything that happened. So. But we decided, okay, let's just go out. So we went out to Sweet Tomatoes. Now, Sweet Tomatoes was Frankie's idea. He says, let's all go to Sweet Tomatoes. So we get to Sweet Tomatoes. There's a line. He doesn't want to wait. He tries to convince us to get in the cars and go somewhere else. And I said, no, we're going to stay here and we're going to eat because this is where you said you wanted to go. And then we're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be spending $100 for eight of us to go out for dinner. It's a tight squeeze. We are financially confined like everybody else. We get up to the line. Teresa got up to the line to pay. And they're having a special, buy one, get one free. Now, you may say that's coincidence. I say God directed us there knowing that we're going to get half of our meals free. Praise the Lord. This week, I had car troubles. $873 later, the car runs. Whew, where's that money coming from? Well, I did three funerals and a wedding the week before. It was just about the amount of what that car repair was going to cost. Coincidence? I don't believe so. God was there with us to fight the battle that he knew we were going to face. If you look at your everyday life and just look at it in those lights, God provides what we need. So if we just have the confidence that he's going to be there for you, he will help you through these rough spots. So last week, Kelly gave us this band, and I've been checking, and some of you have had it on one hand. How many of you during the week had to take it off and put it on the other hand because you weren't quite doing what you're supposed to do or had bad thoughts or whatever. Okay, so that's one aid that we want you to use. Now, David had five small stones in his bag. Each of you have five small, smooth stones in your bag. I encourage you to take one, or if you need to, all five of them, put it in your pocket and carry it with you this week. When you face a rough decision or a fear, put that stone in your hand just to remind you that God is with you as you face that giant. Sometimes we need little things like this to just help us. Don't throw the stone at the problem. Put the stone in your pocket. You know, some people buy these little crosses across from my pocket. That's fine. If you don't have that, use the stone. Just to help remind you that God is always with you and he will help you fight whatever that battle is that you have. So I am proposing to you three strategies for battling your giant. The first one is never assume that what worked for someone else to defeat their giant will automatically work for you. Never assume that what worked for someone else to defeat their giant will automatically work for you. In verses 38 and following, David went to Saul and he asked permission to fight Goliath in battle. If you remember what Frank read to us in the Bible's description of Saul, before that, in chapter 9, it said that he was without equal, very impressive, and they had a head taller than any others. We picked out one chapter to talk about, but as the staff have told you, always go back and read what's before what we read and read what's after it so you get the whole context of the picture. Because we left something out at times for a particular point. So go back and read chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Saul was huge. He was a big man. And if you read the description of David, as I shared earlier, and particularly in chapter 16, it said that he was ruddy, which meant that he was healthy. But that description still gives us the image of maybe a tall, skinny-looking kid. That's why I asked Timmy to come up here and share with us. Now, here is this young man trying to wear Saul's battle, and he's probably swimming in it. Finally, David says, I can't do this. So he takes it off. He says he cannot use it to go into battle because it's too big for him. And the point is, David did it the way that God asked him to do it. And it's the same for us. God created you. God created me in a unique way. And that means that when you battle your giants, he will give you a unique way to handle them. And he will give you a unique way to defeat them. Your giants are giants. We cannot approach them trying to be someone else that we are not. 12 years ago, after 18 years in the ministry or so, I changed jobs. I went to work with Legacy Health Systems. As a new hire, I had to go through all the orientation, and part of that orientation was that I had had the privilege of getting up early on Thursday morning and being in pre-surge at 6:30 in the morning, where the chaplains go around and talk to all the patients before surgery and pray for those that are open for prayer. Well, Chaplain Merv, who's a Nazarene, very good friend of mine, was my mentor. And so I followed him around for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and then he was not there one Thursday morning. Now, at this point, I'm in my 50s. I've had 20 years ministry. I go in, and I start talking to these patients, and I'm getting turned down. They don't want me to pray with them. They don't want me in the room. And I go out in the hallway, and I'm trying to figure out, surely it's just not that Thursday that everyone there is an atheist. Somebody's got to believe. I'm standing there in the hallway, and I'm trying to think, what is wrong? And suddenly it dawned on me. I'm mimicking Merv. I'm using Merv's words. I'm not using my words. So I sucked it up, and I went into the next room being frank and not trying to be Merv. The guy says, oh, I'd love to have you pray for me. We're unique. We can't use other people's words, other people's means. We have to use what God provides us with. The second thing is trust first in the Lord and not in the weapons you have been given. Verse 45 and following tell us that David and Goliath approached each other in battle with their own weapons. The spear, the sword, David, 5 smooth stones, and a slingshot. There are a lot of helpful methods and materials out there that can help people in significant ways to overcome their giants and allow for productive growth. But there is only one method with an internal impact, and that is trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. David expressed 4 times his trust in the Lord before, during, and after the battle. And finally, he defeated the giant because he trusted in God to show him the unique way that God wanted him to fight the battle. David had all the odds against him, including going to someone more than twice his size, covered in a body of full armor. All David had was 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. But the lesson will always be the same. Never underestimate the ability of a heart committed to God. Never underestimate the ability of a heart committed to God. David was committed. God used him in a way that would change him forever. Third point is celebrate your victories. David had a disgusting way of celebrating his victories. Verse 51 tells us that he killed Goliath and then he cut off his head. That act was a symbolic of two things. First, it was a way of making sure that Goliath was dead. The second fact, David had Goliath's head to carry around like a trophy as he paraded in front of everybody. David also took all of Goliath's weapons and stood them up in his own tent. Every morning when he woke up, he could see the weapons of his enemy. He would be reminded of how God delivered him in that battle. It would also motivate him when fighting future battles. And I encourage you to start your own trophy case. There's nothing wrong in celebrating your victories as long as appropriate credit is given to God. The British Army knew how to celebrate their victories. In 1978, there was a fireman strike in London, England. The army was called in to handle the emergency firefighting operations. One day in January 1978, they were called by an elderly lady in South London. Her cat had climbed a tree and would not come down. The army arrived quickly. They discharged their duties, they rescued the cat, and life was returned to normal. The lady was so grateful that she invited the firemen in for tea and crumpets. They celebrated their victory. And as they were leaving and saying their farewells, the men got back into the truck. And do you know what they did? They ran over the cat. The moral of the story is celebrate your victories while you can. You never know how you may have to fight your next battle. Now, retired U.S. Senator from our own state, Mark Hatfield, wrote about visiting Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the House of the Dying. It was a home where sick children were cared for in their last days of life, where the poor lined up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Senator Hatfield was watching Mother Teresa and her companions as they cared for those who had been left by others to die. He remembered being so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the suffering they faced each day. He approached Mother Teresa and said, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" And Mother Teresa responded, "Senator, I'm not called to be successful. I'm simply called to be faithful. I'm not called to be successful. I'm simply called to be faithful." All of the giants that we battle are designed to bring us closer to God. We cannot go into battle to build up an impressive records of win or go thinking that we will fight the battle under our own strength. This is simply a call by God to stand up to the giants in our lives. He is calling us to be faithful to Him as we battle. Have you given your battles to God? Or are you still fighting the battles of your life and the giants of your own? We need to echo the call of David. The battle belongs to the Lord. As Kelly and I were talking, about our closing song. I suggested a song that I use frequently in my life, a song that I use as I go out visiting patients and handling some of the crisis that I'm called to handle. And that's a song that says, "I can, because He lives, I can face tomorrow." That's not the song we're going to sing. Kelly was moved by the Holy Spirit for another song. But what I found out was that God rewarded me this morning on the way to work. I got to hear my song on the fish. So what I want to remind you of is that you're not fighting the battle alone. You can face anything in your life because God is with you. He holds you in the palm of His hand. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And we can face every day because of Him.